Okay, so Megan and I are going to be talking a little bit about a similar grant, although not an actual PBHCI demonstration. Ours is MAITCE, which is Minority AIDS Initiative Targeted Capacity Expansion Project. It's slightly different, and I'm actually glad that the three previous presentations really focused on outcomes, because we're going to talk a lot about process. We don't have anything to disclose. We would love to say that we did, but we do not. So as I said, our project background's a little bit different. The reason that the MAITCE funds came out of SAMHSA was they went to the 12 cities most affected by HIV/AIDS, with Miami, of course, being number one, not a number one title that we like. So for this funding, the people that were eligible to be grantees were the health centers at the state, or the departments at the state level that handle the HIV services. So for Florida, that would be the Florida Department of Health in Tallahassee. From there, the funds went to the Miami level. And then from Miami, they went to South Florida Behavioral Health Network, who's a managing entity for behavioral health dollars in Miami-Dade County. And from there, it was distributed to two FQHCs and us to handle the evaluation. And ultimately, having all of those partners was wonderful in terms of support and some political power, but it also gave us a lot of vertical structure to work through and a lot of bureaucracy. Again, here's just some more about the partners. And really what I wanted to focus on here is the two main players. The FQHCs are extremely different. They cater to very different populations. They're both patient-centered medical homes accredited. Citrus Health is actually historically a behavioral health serving clinic, an FQ, and they have more recently added in primary care to maintain their FQ status. Jesse Trice is historically a primary care FQHC, and they also provide behavioral health services, but both have all of those services co-located. This slide, I apologize for the coloring on it, but it really does talk a little bit about our service flow. Again, our project was slightly different. It was not so focused on the primary care behavioral health integration piece. It was behavioral health and HIV and ancillary services integration. The ancillary services include medical, but that was not one of the main things that we tracked. We didn't track the lipid or the BMI or the cholesterol levels. In our project, we actually tracked HIV risk behaviors and knowledge instead. But ultimately, the process was really guided by peer support, and peers were such an integral part of our process and the client flow. And again, we really want to focus this presentation on the process. We did track client outcomes using the tool that that was distributed. We had a similar tool. But for process, we wanted to go through, there's so many components in integrated care. There's the care management and the care coordination piece. There's the peer support piece. There's the outpatient mental health services, the outpatient substance abuse services, the ancillary services linkage with housing and employment and primary medical for us. So what we did was put together a manual where we describe each of these core components, the history, the background, and if anyone's interested in just flipping through that, or if you're looking at integration in your own health center, sometimes it seems very vague and overly complex, and so we tried to make it easier. That actually was key in terms of our sustainability planning, because then we could go component by component, look at what contributed to the most positive client outcomes, what fit into the general clinic flow already, what was streamlined, and what wasn't working that would not be sustained. So we want to talk a little bit about some of the components. Screening for our project worked differently than some of the others. These were just general clients that were coming into the FQHC, and the screening actually took place in the waiting rooms. So clients were just coming in for whatever reason. Most of the clients were coming in Jesse Trice for a primary medical reason. Most of the clients coming into the other FQ were coming in for some behavioral health reason, or they also do a lot of housing services, so the client could have been in there for housing. And what we had was peers and screeners that would go around and engage clients, talk to them, say, hey, we're trying out this new comprehensive health project. Do you mind answering some questions with me? And so we had them engage in screening that way. both of Q's had a contract to do 550 screens per year. They easily met and actually exceeded those numbers every year. And the key finding from this screening process was really, I think that you touched on this, is that there's such a high need for behavioral health services, even within this just general clinic population. We found that about two-thirds of the clients screened had a need for more assessment, and that just really blew the minds of the CEOs of these clinics, thinking that their client needs were all being met without really understanding the need just in their general clientele.
As Angela was saying, peers are one of our larger components of the Miami model. Peers is a big buzzword or a big movement in the integrated care field. And just so you guys know, we defined peers as a consumer or a family member of a consumer that has received behavioral health or HIV/AIDS services. When we first started this grant, peers were required under the funding source. So they were navigators of the service delivery system. This is a smaller role that they initially had. At the six-month mark, we decided to do qualitative interviews with the peers and find out how their experience was going so far. From that interview process, we found that they loved what they were doing and they loved the interaction with patients, but they felt like they were only delivering services at the front end, and they wanted to know the client or be in touch with the client throughout the entire process. So from that, we decided that to get together with the project director and the site leaders and give peers more responsibility under this project. We decided to give them trainings and different interventions, such as stress management and one-on-one HIV interventions. And that'll bring me to my next slide. Then after that, having that responsibility and working, doing those things throughout the length of the grant, this past July 2014, we conducted more qualitative interviews. We're qualitative people. And we interviewed all key stakeholders from SFBHN, as she introduced earlier, to the different site leaders, down to the peers. From this, we have these quotes here. The first one has to deal with stigma, showing that in the neighborhoods that we are in, there's a high stigma associated with receiving behavioral health services. We're dealing with majority populations where there's a high number of Cubans, there's a high number of Haitians, and they prefer to go to Botanicas or Santeria, having different options to deal with behavioral health. So the peers came in and really came up with innovative strategies of getting them connected to the services. For example, they just say, instead of saying, you are really depressed, like you need some help, come over here, they'll say, oh, you're having trouble sleeping, I have somebody that can help you work through that and just make you feel a lot better about that process, which is a lot more engaging than any other way of saying it. Also, the second quote refers mostly to the doctor and the primary care side of things. So in this quote, the most important line is the last one where it says, the doctors have been referring patients to me lately. This is a huge win for us. First of all, the peers gained the respect of the doctors and broke down that stigma. Second, it shows that they now see peers as a qualified individual as part of the delivery system. And then lastly, it takes the burden off of the doctors, which is the reason I think that they're referring so much is they have these people that they don't know what to do with them and they're not getting better and they realize that the peers are helping. And then this is the last quote that I have, and it has more to deal with case management and how peers really do play the case management role. If you look towards the middle, it says that case managers turn to the peers and so do the clients. So in this, it shows that, you know, peers, you want more responsibility, now you have it. And they have to really play a dual role and help people in multiple parts of the institution. They now have EHR access, they're filling out more paperwork than they were initially. And as much as they've been excelling in this part of the work, it's a challenge in a way because they initially decided to take on this role to spend as much time as possible with the clients. So we're still trying to work out kinks to decrease paperwork while increasing time with clients. But really, overall, this quote shows that the lived experience is the most invaluable part of having a peer on your team. HIV testing is another one of our components. I feel like I don't need to touch on this too much because everybody deals with this in their own capacity, in their own state, with their own forms. But really, the biggest thing that I can tell you about this is cross-training is important. I know that Becky was nice enough to say this in the beginning, but I will reiterate it. Please, please, please cross-train, if anything, for sustainability purposes. There is high staff turnover in this field, especially with behavioral health, and you need people to be trained and step in where necessary. Also, another thing that we took away from this is that although funders want us to be integrated, they may not themselves be integrated with their forms. So we had to fill out a state form, the 1628 form in Florida, maybe different in other states, and then also fill out an RHT, which is the federal form, which asks for the same exact information in a different wording, but we had to fill out both. This is something that you will come across and have to deal with and just take it as a grain of salt, because slowly but surely the system's changing, but slowly is the main word there. Next is EBIs. This is another main component of our Miami model. For this, again, I want to reiterate cross-training and the high staff turnover in the behavioral health field. We also cross-trained with the peers, with some medical staff, just so that everybody's kind of speaking the same language. One other thing I want to reiterate is that all of these EBIs work for us and for our population. I don't want you to walk away from here and think, like, this is the magic equation, I need to use these EBIs, because you have to gauge it based on your population and based on your cultural competencies. So really look at what's out there and make whatever's out there fit for your population.
So again, I don't know if you all can read these numbers at all in the back. I can hardly read them from where I'm standing. But this is the number for clients that were served in the project. There was a total of almost 3,500 that were screened across the 3 years. We're actually in a no-cost extension right now, but we're essentially wrapping up. And from those clients, 44% actually went on to that next phase, which would be the assessment, the comprehensive baseline assessment. Before coming into the project. And what we found was that, as I mentioned earlier, about two-thirds of clients that were getting screened actually had a need in that screening to go on for more services or a more comprehensive assessment. And we were able to capture 44% of the total. So we felt pretty good about using those peers on the front end. We really felt like we got a lot of people in that just did not come in for behavioral health services or to participate in this program. We felt like that was a really strong aspect. And then if you can read the numbers and you're interested, the other services, the outpatient mental health and substance use, the HIV interventions, the stress management, and the ancillary service referrals, those percentages are taken from total clients assessed and not from total clients screened, just to be clear on that. For client outcomes, we are certainly interested in the outcomes portion of it. This is really the selling point for getting integrated care, you know, to be a systems-wide change. We found excellent things with our program, and we actually had those reiterated anecdotally, and we did client interviews as well, where we also heard, you know, similar things and great things, even better than can be captured with quantitative data. Of course, the big selling points here are just the reduction in days spent in the ERs, the reduction in days spent homeless, the reduction in days spent going to the hospital psych ward and things like that. Those are the big selling points that we found for CFOs and CEOs of other organizations. But we were really excited also, as you mentioned, Catherine, about the other aspects of social support. We found that that actually went up from being in the project. And when you're talking about large FQs, a lot of times those become sort of like a home, a second home for people. Yeah, like a family, and you get to know your team and you know some of the clients there. And we really thought that was an interesting piece, and I'd love to get into that with someone later. Sustainability, again, I think, Becky, you definitely touched on it. The big key part here is Medicaid reimbursement. Unfortunately, Florida has not expanded Medicaid. And that's really stressful on the FQHCs that now have to use their special funds, their general revenue funds, to serve those clients that aren't covered. So now when they're talking about making staff hires and integrated care services, they really have to think about, you know, what can this provider at this level bill for in terms of Medicaid, and who can generate their own revenue salary from billing for services. And that's not the place that we want to be in, but that unfortunately is, and we've definitely been navigating through all of those barriers. And then definitely, because we know the model's effective, we want to disseminate it, so traversing the funding issues are certainly at the forefront of our conversation, but that's where having that long vertical structure for funding comes in handy, because we actually can talk to the big players, and we do that quite often.
Since we don't have a ton of time, I'm going to kind of breeze through these a little bit, but if you want any other questions about this at the end, feel free to come up to us. The Healthcare Integration Committee, it was initially part of the grant funding process, and we liked it so much, and it became such a huge systems-level initiative that we found a way to make it sustainable through local funding. So that was great. Also, our biggest challenge with that right now is getting PCP membership. If you have any questions about this, I can answer them after. And then for lessons learned, first, make a plan that has to do primarily with buy-in, not to do the same presentation as Becky or anything, but at least you're hearing it from the high up and the low level, so it's a real thing, do it. And then along with buy-in, that leads directly naturally into collaboration between departments. And this is a paradigm shift. This takes time, and you have to realize that Rome wasn't built in a day, neither was your FQHC integration site. It's not gonna happen right away. We're at year three, and we're still fighting these small wins, big battles, stuff like that. This also leads to persistence. Do not give up. It happens over time. Just know that it'll happen eventually. And then peers, I already covered that earlier in the presentation. And then also, lastly, integration is working. So far, we have presented both qualitative and quantitative information and data to back this up. Just know that it is. Big win.
Our conclusions are the same, right? Change happens with persistence, happens over time, collaboration is key. One thing I will mention is a fully functional EHR. Within our FQs, they spent one site spent a ton of money on a state-of-the-art EHR that is great for behavioral health and does not do a great job with primary care. And I think that it's a problem with the people developing the EHRs and misleading the FQs and the other community health centers on what is great, but it's also a problem. I'm not sure a great EHR exists. If someone knows of one, let us know.
I'd love to talk about that. Yeah.
But yeah, when we talk about, when we want to look at data, like other projects have looked at with primary care, we actually would have to go back, look those client IDs, match them to social security numbers, and then tediously hand match them with the primary care side of things, which is just not something that anyone has time to do. So that is a big issue. System-wide
let me just say one more thing. Go forth and integrate, you must. But I just want to say, for all the components that we briefly covered or whatever, either way, it's all in this manual and it's all in depth discussed in this, but we don't have it disseminated online yet. So if you want to see it VIP, this is the only place I could be able to. It'll be up here.